I want to share just for just a few moments, and I'm not going to be any longer than what any of these ladies were, but I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 for just a few moments. At the close of this service, we're going to have all our mothers come up here. We want to give you something and pray over you. But I want to share for a few moments on the grandmothers of Jesus. And someone said this morning, I think it was Marcia, that mothers, grandmothers are mothers too. And I want to share just for a few moments, because we talk about Mother's Day today, and we're talking about how special our mothers are to us and what an impact they have on our life. And I want us to just kind of look at something that it's real easy, I think, for all of us to overlook unless it's brought out to us. And I want to look at the grandmothers in Jesus' life. And as we're looking at Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look at the generations of Jesus Christ. And of course, we understand that Mary was his natural or physical mother. His body actually, the word says, made of a woman. The Holy Spirit actually used the physical DNA of Mary's body. He did not use Joseph. Joseph did not touch Mary to have any kind of physical relationship with her. It was all conceived of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how the Holy Spirit did that. I don't know. My guess is he just touched one of those eggs in there and just caused it to grow. But however it happened, it happened. So Mary was the physical mother. Joseph had nothing to do. But yet the Holy Spirit uses as an overall umbrella the covering of Joseph's natural as a father to Jesus Christ, his earthly father. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read some things from there. But before we do, I want to just make mention that Mary is mentioned in chapter 1, the last woman mentioned in the chapter, and that's in verse 16. It says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ." Mary, I don't know how all you women, because I'm not a woman and I'm not a mother, I don't know how all you women relate to Mary. This probably, I don't want to say this as an umbrella and say this is how all women do, because maybe you don't, but I think it would be easy for a woman to look at Mary as a very, like, this. That's the epitome of motherhood. That's the top of the ladder as far as mothers are concerned. Number one, she's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Number two, she was conceived as a virgin by the Holy Spirit. So you can think about the purity of her life. She supported his ministry. You know, she's the one that she initiated the first miracle, the water into wine, by saying, you know, I'm paraphrasing, "Let him do it. My son can do this." So she believed in her son. She believed in his ministry. She was there all the way to the cross. So in all those things, she was the best kind of mother. She's a wonderful lady, just absolutely wonderful lady. Some religions make a god out of her that's not right. You know, she conceived of the Holy Spirit as a virgin. I can say this in due respect. She did not die as a virgin. Her and Joseph. There's some religions, the Catholic religion. I don't know why, but many of them will try to misconstrue. You have to misconstrue the Greek. You have to take things out of context to say that those other siblings were cousins. You actually have to just distort the word of God. But some religions will say that she never had any other children besides Jesus, and that's absolutely not true. Jesus was her firstborn. No man touched her for that. But after that, her and Joseph conceived several other children together. So, praise the Lord, Mary did go on to be a woman just like all of you other mothers and just had other children. So praise the Lord, she's there. So we just think about how wonderful a woman she was and is, and that she's in heaven. And by the way, my mom's in heaven. This is my first Mother's Day without mom. September of this past year, she went to be with Jesus. Wonderful Christian lady. I am here today because of her ministry in my life. So praise the Lord, Jesus. Tell her hi for us. And her son loves her very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the first four women, and this is going to be brief. I'm going to be brief because, as I said, we have other things we want to do and let you have a wonderful Mother's Day. But at the first part of this chapter, We're going to look at the first four women mentioned, and actually the only other four women mentioned other than Mary in the lineage of Jesus. And it's important to note that many of the women that could have been mentioned prior to these first four being mentioned were not mentioned. So it's Matthew, for some reason, and I think I really know the reason, is actually skipping over what could have been mentioned as other women in the lineage of Jesus Christ. But let's look at chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah, and those were twin boys, I'm just going to mention, of Thamar. And Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. These first four women mentioned here are the only other women mentioned here besides that last verse that we read, verse 16, where it does mention Mary. By placing these women in the lineage of Jesus, it is to be understood that these women, and you follow his lineage, that these women, along with their husbands or the men that they conceived the next generation with, made quality decisions that God, you might say, even the Old Testament, we know, and all of us in here and most everybody watching, we understand that in simplicity that prior to Christ, you couldn't be born again. After Christ, or once Christ was resurrected, or once Christ paid the ultimate price and went into Abraham's bosom, all those Old Testament saints that were being retained, they were all born again. And now, from that point on, everyone that comes into the kingdom must be born again. But even these Old Testament women, we understand because they were mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ that they had a destiny. They had a purpose. Man, every one of these five were just super this morning. I'm just thinking about gaze for a moment, the destiny, the purpose, just how that, you know, the lineage is going down because of right decisions. And even what we see here real quickly is that even wrong decisions that were made by some of these women, and we're gonna name four women here, and every single one of them, amazing enough, had sordid lives prior to where their conversion was at, or prior to where God began to use them at. We have Mary at the end, which actually had Jesus, but we have beginning first with this first woman called Tamar, or it's Tamar in the Old Testament, it's Thamar in the New. Verse 3 says, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah, those who were twins of Thamar, and Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram. Well, just to mention her, don't go there now, but in Genesis chapter 38, it's a long story, but in the beginning of her life, because of an injustice done, or something withheld from her by Judah, one of the patriarchs. He had given her his son. His son died. He promised the next son. The next son wouldn't raise up any seed, wouldn't raise up any children. The Bible says the Lord actually killed them both. I'm not going to go into explaining all that right now. But Thamar, or Tamar in the Old is mentioned, is that she actually... she played the part of a harlot, and she disguised herself, and she actually, going to try to not get into this too deep, but she actually became pregnant by fooling or disguising herself, and Judah, her father-in-law, who had lost his wife, conceived by her. Long story, It all got straightened out in the end, but this was the lineage. This woman was mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The next person to be mentioned is Rahab, which also, scholars will tell you, is to be interpreted Rahab. It's the same. Most conservative scholars will tell you that this is Rahab of the Old Testament. And the word in, or the verse is 1:5. You can look at it again. And Salmon begat Boaz of, you can substitute that as Rahab. Rahab in the Old Testament was, for those of you that don't know, she's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. She's mentioned here. Rahab was, in the beginning of her life, a harlot. And she was the harlot that worked in Jericho, and she had a house of harlotry on the wall of Jericho. But when the spies came in, she hid them, and she said, if I do this, when you invade, will you save me and my family? She not only wanted herself, salvation for herself, she wanted her whole family to be saved. They said, look, if you put a scarlet rope in your window, when we invade, everybody's going to be killed, but if we see that scarlet rope hanging here, we will save you. And the story goes that that's just what happened. There is no way that Rahab, when she was Rahab the harlot, when she was working for a living, doing what she did, there was no way when she would finish her day and live in the shame of who she was, there was no way that Rahab ever imagined that one day redemption would come to her life and that she would be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. What a God we serve. It's like Matthew says this, I'm going to end up with Mary, but the first thing I've got to do is weave into the tapestry the grace of God, how that God will take lives that are distorted, lives that are messed up, lives that are have all kind of junk in them, and bring them into something beautiful to bring about something of great purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. No greater God than the one we serve. Rahab was a Canaanite prostitute. She's the one that hid the spies. The next one mentioned is in the same verse, verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, which is Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Ruth, we'll mention here, there's the book of Ruth. You can read about Rahab in the book of Joshua chapter 2. I didn't mention that. But here, if you want to read about Ruth, she has a whole book to her credit. And Ruth, I'll just mention something about her. We don't have a bunch of junk about her as far as history. I can just tell you this. She was not an Israelite. Ruth was a Moabite. And as a Moabite, her origin was from, here's her origin. Moabites, her father-in-law and his two sons, the whole story, I can't go into it. They went into a play, you know, they went into a country. The father-in-law, the two sons, they die. They had married two wives, and Naomi decides to go back to the homeland. They're all Jewish. They're all Israelites. Naomi's the only one left of her, you know, her sons died and her husband died. Her one daughter-in-law, see you later. But Ruth will not leave Naomi's side. Ruth had fallen in love with Naomi. Ruth had fallen in love with Naomi's God. Ruth was a Moabite. Moabites were from the incest relationship with Lot and his oldest daughter. So their bloodline was their bloodline was messed up to start with. The Moabites were polytheistic, meaning they worshiped several gods, and they believed in child sacrifice. She came from a terrible background. But it's amazing. Matthew skips, he could have talked about a lot of other women, but he gets down to these four that he wants to introduce into the lineage of Jesus Christ, and he shares, here's Ruth, The one scripture out of Ruth I love is, you don't have to turn there, it's 1:16, it says, "And Ruth said to Naomi," this is what she said, "entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go." This is often read at many marriages. "Where you lodge, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." Hallelujah. And then the other one mentioned, but not by name, but is really, really mentioned, is Bathsheba, and that's in verse 6. "And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her," that her is Bathsheba, "that had been the wife of Urias." It's amazing. Here, Bathsheba, she was part. David solicited her. David killed her husband. You know, what good thing could never come out of something like that? But yet, Matthew makes it, and he doesn't mention her name, but he does say the wife, this woman, she's part of the lineage. She's part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. I thought it was very powerful. All of these women had sordid lives at one time, yet God specifically purposed that Matthew included them in one of the lineages, the lineage of Jesus, to show the grace at work in every life, even to the sacredness of the lineage of his son. The word mother in Hebrew means bonder of the family. The first objective of every Christian mother is to bind the family together in the atmosphere of Jesus Christ. If you look up the word in the Hebrew for mother, it just means a bonder or a bonder of the house or a bonder of the family. The first place for all of your mothers, and I heard it, we all heard it, the desire of all these mothers is that their lineage is saved and go forward. I say it a lot of times. Gary's used it, and he's in a very wonderful and powerful way, and he's told me, "Bronk, I wish I had your testimony." In that certain sense, I have the most boring testimony in the world. I really do. You know, saved at 11, baptized in the Holy Spirit about 12. Served God all my life through high school. Never went back. Were you tough? Yeah, I wasn't a sissy boy. I played football, wrestled hogs, and rode horses. But at the same time, I loved God. I had the Holy Spirit in me. But it was a mother that continued to teach me the things of God, and to, because I was saved. Here's the thing. Don't we all want our children to be born again early so that they propagate the next generation to the next generation to the next generation? See, here's the thing, and it's not, and there, this is no slant either. It's wonderful when you have a testimony like, I was a hellion. I got saved at whatever, 30s, 40s, whatever. That's wonderful. Praise God. It's got to start somewhere, but it's really best, and everybody will agree with this. There's no debate about this, that the sooner you get born again, the sooner your children will also. If you get born again at 35, 40, you've lived 35, 40 years as a testimony before your children. You can still get them born again, but they got to get born again usually after you, because they're going to follow mom and dad. So if you get born again, if our children that are being raised in here are getting married and they've lived a Christian life, and their children, can a child rebel? I got it. I understand that. Sure, I understand that. But the chances are, the sooner you get them into church, the sooner you get them going forward, the more chances are they're going to serve the Lord. That's just it. I mean, naturally speaking, spiritually speaking, in every possible way. The word mother means bond of the family. The first objective of the Christian mother is to bind their family together in the atmosphere of Christ. They must train their children to know God. That's the number one objective. They must pray for their children at home or grown. See, somebody said, "Well, my children, I can't have an influence on them anymore." Yes, you can. If they're out of the house, pray. There's so much power in prayer. Mothers, pray for your children. They can have a powerful effect. I don't care what they're out there doing or how far away from God they possibly are. Continue to pray and minister for your children. They must live a life that is conducive to witness before their children. It's one thing to say. It's another thing to do. Amen? Don't send your kids And thank God you mothers, I'm not trying to preach to the choir, but this is so vitally important. Live the life. Like, you know, why do we want to be at church prior? Why do we, okay, I'm gonna get Miss Gays. I'm gonna tee off of, why do we want to be at church on time? Why do we want to be at church for the 30 minutes of worship? You know, prior to, it's not a grudgery. This is not a penalization. This is, my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. This is the most wonderful thing that we ought to charge money for you to get to come. Hallelujah. We ought to have a cover charge at the door. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Amen. They must learn God's plan for their life. Mothers need to learn God's plan for their life. This is where I'll begin to close. Every woman that is a mother has a different life. Some women will hear the testimony of the stay-at-home mother and think, my God, I just wish I had that life to live. I wish I could stay at home. I wish I could spend the hours in prayer. And then so many times that woman can feel intimidated, depleted of a sense, even when they don't say it, even when there's no voice from heaven, even when there's no scripture that could validate it, that person could feel like just a little bit less. And that's not God's mind. That's absolutely not God's mind. Listen, I've heard so many preachers stand up and preach the messages of the Proverbs 31 woman on Mother's Day and say, here's all the perspectives of what a mother should be. And I'm thinking, my God, if I was a woman and if I was a mother, I would say, oh my God, how in the world will I ever, in God's name, ever fulfill all of that stuff? 31 is not a picture of a singular person. It's an overall picture of the church as we go forward as a body ministry. I'm thinking, dear God, that woman's going to be wore out. That woman's war. There's no way that woman can fulfill all that. I wouldn't want to be that woman. I wouldn't even want to try to be that woman. And so that, not only the 31, not only Proverbs 31 is perpetuated in the church as something is supposed to be a cookie cutter, like everybody, if you're a woman, you're supposed to be doing this. Not only is that a lie, but it's also something that can hang over. I don't know where you're at as a mother. I don't know what you're called to. Here's the main thing is have your own relationship to the point to where that you're serving God, where you're following Him to the measure that the grace of God comes into your life. I'm telling you, you may be so busy that you're working and it's hard to make the... Listen, I understand. This is a day and hour where women are having to work like never before. But in those sandwiched moments, everything you can squeeze in, pray for your children. Pray in the Spirit. Squeeze every moment into the Word that you possibly can. God does not look at you as a second-class person. He doesn't look at you as a second-class mother. He looks at you as one that, if you're saying, Lord, I wish I was home. I wish I could spend more time. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Amen. And then there's the other side. We live also in America where men and women have traded their family in for nicer homes, nicer cars. What do you mean trade them in? Meaning they'll work more, they'll burn more daylight, they'll burn more hours to have that beautiful home, to have two beautiful cars. Listen, I would rather live in something that is just manageable to be said decent and drive the least and have a heritage that I passed over to my children, that I loved them, I prayed for them, I lived a godly life. I wasn't so wore out by spending 80 hours a week living and my husband pushing me. No, I don't want to start no fights here. Just want to tell those husbands that are pushing their wives to work harder and spend more time, to tell them where they can get off. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, come tell them to come see me, and I'll tell them to go see Homer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Women, you're so appreciated. You really are. Mothers, and all women, but mothers specifically today. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask every mother to please come forward. I wish all of you watching could come forward. But all our mothers, please come forward and stand. And if you'll stand across the front and face the congregation. Hallelujah. Amen. Could you give me something? Yeah. Wonderful group of mothers. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's pretty much the whole church. And we got plenty of room on this side, ladies. Just come right on around. Isn't this wonderful? Hallelujah. Just keep going that way, I guess. Keep going, yeah. Hallelujah. Candy, can you go ahead and, where's Candy? Can you want to pass those out now? Yeah. And who you got to help with you over here? Our mothers are receiving a rose this morning. All of us are waiting patiently, and we just appreciate them so much. So it's worth the wait. And God bless every single one of our mothers. We're stretching out on both sides. Amen. So how many enjoyed those testimonies? Wasn't that very powerful? Very, very powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Incredible. I don't know how many of you have ever seen those first four women mentioned in the book of Matthew, but isn't that amazing? Every one of them had lives that were really messed up, and yet they became the grandmother of Jesus Christ. We're getting close. Mothers, we love you. I'm going to turn my back on you guys that are watching to address them. Mothers, we love you. And I see some of my offspring up here. Hallelujah. Man, Tina, we're glad you're here today. We're blessed that you're here with us on Mother's Day. All you mothers over there, we've got all our young mothers and our millennial group mothers. There's no old mothers here, okay? Because nobody here is 100, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask all of you to agree with me. We're going to bless them. I'm just going to pray over here. I'm just going to pray. And as far as I know, all of these mothers are women I'm looking that already serve the Lord, know the Lord. Listen, if there is anybody, and I'm just saying this out, but if there's any of you that are walking in a place where your commitment is not as strong as it once was, please, you and the Lord get along with each other and solidify that commitment stronger than ever before, because the destiny of somebody sitting out here, or maybe they're not here today, but your little one is hanging on the balance of how your walk. And I can tell you this, a mother's influence in a child's life is more important than their pastor's influence. You as a mother will have more to do with them going to heaven and the rest of their life than I will as a pastor. Much more important. Much more. So, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just bless our mothers this morning and all of our mothers that are out there watching in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless these and I pray that this will be a wonderful day, but I pray that it'll go beyond today, that it'll be a start for many that, Lord, are in a place where maybe they just feel like they're not as close to you as they would really want to be. Work doesn't keep them from being close to you. Busyness does not keeping them from being close to you. Lord, you'll get involved with all of that. Lord, what you're asking is a sincere heart. And for the mothers that are already walking with you, I pray that this will be an advancement in their life to the next level that you would have them to go. And I pray that, Father, that you'll grant them grace, all of these women, to be the bonders of the home, to even where there's husbands represented here that are not serving you or they're out of the home. Lord, I just pray that these mothers will receive the grace to receive your strength to be the testimony to their children. And even if their children are raised and grown, Lord, that they will continue to be the solid rock of prayer for their family. We bless them. We bless all our mothers that are watching. In Jesus' name, we just pray your grace upon them. And Lord, for all of our future mothers that are out here today and those that are watching, that in the days ahead when they conceive and they bring forth, that, Lord, they will remember, Lord, the purpose, one of the greatest purposes of their life is to train up their children in the way of the Lord. Father, we commit this day to you, and we commit all these mothers to you, and we bless in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Mothers, have a wonderful day. We love you all. Thank you for all those wonderful testimonies.